Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today, we had a plan.
Oops, all berries.
I messed up, and I ordered the movie late, so it's not here yet, and so we're gonna do something else.
Yep, so instead of watching Extreme Heist / Wicked Game, is this games?
I've seen both.
How many game are there?
There's one or
how many?
How many
Wicked's game are there? There's up to several Wicked games, but we're not watching any of them today because
no, Guile Lyden will have to wait another time.
So at the end of this season, we'll probably watch that. At the end of the next season, Lightspeed, we'll probably watch that, which I guess takes care of that.
Nailed it. See? It's all by design.
Yeah. So what we did today, actually, was we spent about 40 minutes trying to figure out what to watch.
Conservative estimate, 40 minutes.
We got real close to watching Suzy Q starring Amy Jo Johnson, the 1996 Disney Channel movie, Suzy Q. The only place we could find it is on YouTube, and there were several ways to watch it. I'm going to paint a picture because you've no doubt figured out what we're talking about from the description / episode title.
Yeah, everybody, close your eyes.
But if you missed that, if you just said, oh, hot dog, new Morphin Grid, play right now. I don't care what it's about. I know it's about Extreme Heist. I don't even need to look at the title. So if you go into, if you search YouTube for Suzy Q, there's three options. There's the full movie, but it has been pushed off the screen to the right.
Just a little bit. Just enough to where you will miss something, I promise.
Yeah, it's definitely something cool is going to happen on the right side of the screen and you're not going to see it. The second option is the whole thing is on the screen, but it's only about a quarter of the screen, and there's for some reason a 1996 screensaver of shooting stars behind
it. It's just a spiraling star background behind it.
It is so distracting, and it's so small. It's so small in the corner. Make it then you can watch it full screen in 4:3 in pretty good quality.
Not too bad.
But but you do have to watch it 9 minutes at a time.
9 minutes. This is the crazy part, because as you scrolled through that playlist, I noticed every video was 9 minutes and 1 second long. That's exactly how long you can put a movie on YouTube before a copyright strike hits you, I guess.
No, see, what's weird is back in like 2010, 2011, and prior, YouTube had a limit. Like
that's true.
You can only put things up for 10 minutes tops. I think in like 2012 or 2013, they got rid of that.
It's weird.
These were all uploaded in 2014, so I don't know what the deal was.
iMovie, if you try to up something to YouTube.
If you try to up it to YouTube.
If you try to jack it up to YouTube from iMovie directly, it will be like, unless you are a verified account, you can only have a 10-minute video. And that's not true anymore.
No. Now it's just do what you want.
Yeah.
Wild West. No rules.
Put a video up. If it shouldn't be up, we'll take it down in 6 months to 12 years.
Sometimes you'll make a video and it'll be fine, but someone will have a problem with it and then they get paid for it instead of you, even though it's yours.
Yeah.
And nothing about it is theirs because the YouTube copyright system is flawed. Anyway, we didn't watch Suzy Q. Maybe eventually we will watch Suzy Q. So breaking news, exciting new development. There is mariachi music playing outside my apartment somewhere and we can't find the source. So I can't ask them to stop it. It is 8:30 at night on a Wednesday. It's a school night.
People are insane. we almost also watched another movie about a park ranger and a monster that had Serena Vincent in it.
It was called Sasquatch Mountain / Devil on the Mountain, because every Power Ranger movie has to have two titles.
That's crazy.
But like,
oh god,
I don't know. So we watched that and it looked like it was recorded on a Motorola Razr phone and it was bad. We scrubbed through it. It was on YouTube, but it was like an hour and a half. And at that point, it was like 7:20. And we're like, no, we're not doing that at all.
We would still be watching that right now.
Yeah, we still have 20 minutes left. That's unconscionable.
I can't imagine at our advanced age.
So what we did was we ended up watching a VHS special of the WMAC Masters, which is the World Martial Arts Council Masters, There's a show on around the same time. It was trying to like capitalize on Power Rangers because Power Rangers is like very karate focused.
Yeah, during the martial arts boom of the early to mid 90s.
Do you remember how karate and aggressive inlining was the most important thing in the world besides Power Rangers for a while?
That's all there was.
I don't think anything...
Power Rangers is part karate.
It's part karate, and there are at least two instances of aggressive inlining.
Yeah.
One on the show, one in the movie. Now I think there's dueling mariachi music coming from the other side of my apartment.
Well, hey, it's a bonus episode.
Hey.
You never know what
you're
gonna
get.
What
a way to close out the hiatus.
It's a grab bag.
So, maybe it'll noise cancel out, maybe it won't. So we watched WMAC Masters, and I took some notes, and let me tell you something about WMAC Masters.
It's the greatest show.
It's very good.
It's so cool.
But, not a lot of deep content that you need to, tuck into.
Any story that they tell is either one quick flashback and a bunch of ribbing in a locker room.
Yep, which I kind of love.
Half the episode is a flashback about Olympus.
Yep. So this was two episodes. One was the Ninja Challenge, and the other one was just like a regular episode. So I guess we'll kind of explain like what the deal is as we go. But if you don't remember, let me pull up some stats on WMAC Masters.
All right. Well, you're looking those up. I just want to tell everybody, I know we've talked about this show before, but I don't know to what extent we got in. Maybe we already did this once and I just don't remember.
No, we definitely haven't done this. We've talked about it. We talked about doing it for Gas Cast, but that is on indefinite hiatus. So.
Right. There is a very large portion of my life from when the show was on television until I at least knew you that I thought about this show all the time and could not remember what it was. I knew there was a lot of martial arts.
Yep.
There was a fighter named Tsunami. And there was one fight between two girls whose names I do not know, but the goal was to grab a brass ring. That was all I had to go on.
Okay.
All my early internet Google searches turned up nothing.
Right. Because how would you... karate show. No, well, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Karate show, Tsunami, and then it's just here's some pictures of waves, because there's not a lot of stuff on the internet yet.
Yeah, because the internet's pretty light in 1995 to 1997 was the original run.
But then one day I asked you, hey, do you remember a fighting show with a guy named Tsunami in it? And you said, yes, I do.
Yeah, WMAC Masters. I forgot what it was called also. And I had a similar experience where every year or so I would be like, what was that karate show called? And then I went to college in Florida at a film school. And one of my teachers worked on WMAC Masters. So that's how I remembered it when you asked me.
Thank God, because I would still be struggling and be like, it was such a cool show.
Yeah, I think...
Because the presentation of it is, it's this giant ongoing martial arts tournament. It's basically prototype MMA fighting.
It's prototype MMA and prototype Lucha Underground.
Yeah, with like, it's all scripted fake pro wrestling stuff thrown in, sprinkled on the top.
But karate instead.
Sprinkled on the top and throughout the whole shake.
Yes.
It's just so cool. It's just such a rad TV show.
Yeah, it was and it is, it's for babies. So there's a lot of like, hey, self-confidence is important. Like the Dragon Star has like there's like 8 points of the Dragon Star, and I have them here. Here they are. Ready?
Yes.
Discipline, courage, forgiveness, compassion. Kind of the same thing. Honor, wisdom, loyalty, and respect. Now, you will notice that self-confidence is not on there.
That's funny.
Which is weird.
Because Olympus definitely said one of the main points of the Dragon Star is self-confidence.
Yep, which it isn't. But, we'll get there. Oh, I just remembered the season 2 finale.
Is there only 2 seasons?
Yeah.
Is it a cliffhanger?
It is.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, this episode, the Ninja Challenge is... basically as follows. 6 people have a 45-second like ninja bout.
Demonstration, I guess, because it's one master, and they are mostly in the dome.
Yeah.
A couple of
them. Some of them are in the other areas.
Are out in arenas for some reason.
There's a couple different arenas. There's like a lakefront like docks area. There's the Mayan encounter.
I swear to God, she called them the danger docks.
Hey, maybe it was the danger docks. One of them is just like a spooky forest.
Yeah.
That's where Red Dragon fought, in the woods. And they're in the Battle Dome, which is like the main part where like you face off at the end. But like basically, it's one master, four ninjas. Every time you hit a ninja, you get a point or 2 points, depending on how good the hit is.
So it's 1 point for a hit, 2 points for a clean hit,
mm-hmm.
which is like the ninja does not block, I guess.
Yeah, either. Well, I think blocks are 0 points, but I think a hit is like you tag them, and a clean hit is like you got them.
You got them. And it's 5 points for a takedown.
Yes.
However, I did notice a couple times, I don't know if it was Tiger Claw, it might have been Great Wolf. He just kicked a guy who fell down and scored 5 points.
Yeah, there was some very loosey-goosey point counting.
Like the timer and the point counter are like one graphic on the bottom of the screen, yep. And that'll fade out, and it will come back with a massive increase in points.
Yeah, and like not a lot happened.
And Tiger Claw is just like standing there for 45 seconds, and he gets 86 points or whatever.
Tiger Claw did bad. Which is funny to me, because Tiger Claw seems like a dude who is very serious.
Did you ever have any karate fighters when you were a kid?
What do you mean?
The toy karate fighters?
No.
But here's what karate fighters were. You would have this little, like, action figure.
Okay.
That is a martial artist. And
like a real one?
No.
Okay.
Like, there's like a red ninja.
Okay, yeah.
There was a seat you could like send in however many proofs of purchase, and you could get like the secret white ninja karate Ooh. Fighter that is just the same action figure.
You could
but
make a white
painted
ninja.
Different.
Just get a second red ninja and strip it.
But they have one foot that is on like this weird, the articulation is like this weird pivot instead of a swing.
And you have like a thing.
And you have like a handle and like a foosball twist.
Okay.
And you just smack them into it. It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but martial arts.
I think I have seen those then, yeah.
Tiger Claw 100% looks like he's one of those.
Oh, for sure. So basically, there's six fighters. You have 45 seconds to get as many points as possible. The last four fighters will go to the Battle Dome, where you do like a big old cluster F fight. Now, the drama. The drama.
The story this episode is telling.
Is that Tsunami, who has zero key symbols. Basically, here's the bigger part of WWC Masters. There's a big old cool dragon belt. A dragon star, rather. It's got a handle. It's got 8 points of dragon star. Each point represents something. None of them are self-confidence. Again, keep that in your pocket. Everyone has a dragon belt, which has like the symbol of the dragon star in the middle. And then spaces for 12? I'm assuming key symbols.
I mean, we could have checked.
Here, hold on. Let me see if it's actually pulled up.
It might say it on. You're on like the wiki, right?
I'm on the wiki. Quest for the Dragon Star. Nope. Just tell me how many symbols you need to get.
What if I just Google that? How many symbols do I need to get the Dragon Star?
It might come up faster. 10 opponents.
Okay, here's the thing then. At least two of the people going into this ninja challenge have 9.
Uh-huh.
If they win, they get to 10, which means you get the challenge for the dragon stuff.
Yeah.
If you lose, do you start off your new dragon belt with 2?
Well, did anybody in it have 9? Because I know Superstar had 9, but he didn't go in.
I think Red Dragon had 9.
I think you might be right. So basically, every time you beat an opponent, you collect their key symbol, which is like just like their symbol. And then once you fill up your dragon belt, you can challenge for the dragon star.
Key symbols are like big power coins.
Yes.
That click into your dragon
They're
belt.
They're like magnetized, I think.
Yeah.
The Gift of the Gods belt from Lucha Underground is straight up the dragon star.
It's
the dragon belt.
It has to be a reference.
Like, no other way. Literally, Lucha Underground is a remake of WMAC Masters.
Oh, yeah, because we didn't talk about that. For the fights that are in the Battle Dome, like, Tsunami fights four ninjas for 45 seconds in the Battle Dome. So he's on a stage. There's, like, a platform, I guess, raised above where, like
a balcony sort of thing.
And then at the end of that is, like, a separate platform with a giant throne where the current Dragon Star champion is just sitting and watching the fights.
Yeah, just chilling.
Just like the
Mil Muertes.
Underground champion.
Yeah. Only Mil Muertes did it, but he straight up did it for like most of season 2.
Yeah.
So, there's that. It's very good. The four people that get in there are who boy? Who were they? It was Warlock,
Tsunami, Great Wolf, and Panther.
And Panther, yes.
And Tiger Claw and Red Dragon do not qualify.
So Red Dragon started and he got 93 points and everybody got like more points going up from there. And except until they got to
Tiger Claw. He only got like 89, I think.
He had like 90 maybe. Hold on, did I have it written down?
He definitely got kicked in the face once, which is minus 5 points if you get hit.
If you get hit, yeah, you lose 5 points. And he lost like 10 points and then tried to get him back. But also, once he lost, they're like, current ranking, last.
You know what you did, Tiger Claw.
Eat it, Tiger Claw. So then they all go fight. Here's the complicated part about the battle fights. Is that you don't get points by hitting your opponent.
Nope.
You get points by hitting your opponent into the cage.
Yes.
Which is not electrified, but it does make the lights do a thing to signal that it happened.
It does sound electrified, but it isn't.
They never come out and say it, though. So that's very cool. Except wouldn't it be cooler if you had to beat your opponent in a karate fight?
Wouldn't it be cooler if you had to knock them out?
Yeah.
And I understand this is like a kid show. It's like, right. Don't fight until the other person can't anymore.
Right. But like, you know, if you already have a time limit on it, like, same points, same deal with ninjas, but it should be much harder because they're masters.
Yeah.
You know? So Tsunami made a bet with Superstar, who's like one of the top guys, that he could win it, the challenge, the ninja challenge.
And if you win, you get three key symbols from the three opponents, from each of your opponents. Just one like you do in a regular episode.
Yeah. So Superstar's like, you're never going to get there. Like, you got to go through a whole bunch of people. Like, you're new. You're brand new. You just got to, like, he's the first graduate of the WMAC Academy to get to the Masters show. So he's got like a lot riding on this because he's like the new kid sort of, but also like he's got a lot to prove. He's like a good like go get him kid. I very much like Tsunami.
Yeah.
Feel like they should have leaned about 10% more magical and given him Tsunami powers in that he could because Tsunamis are very powerful like acts of nature. Every once in a while he can just unleash a Tsunami on you, but they didn't go that way. It's fine. So he's like, Superstar's like, if you get in, if you win, I'll do 300 push-ups. I'll do 100 push-ups for every key star you get. But if you lose, you have to do 100 push-ups for every key star or key symbol that I have, which is
nine.
Which is 900 push-ups. So there's like the little through line of it going back to them being like, gotta do those push-ups. Blah, here's a comic book so you can read it. Or like, here's martial arts tips from me, like Superstar.
It's like a martial arts magazine and Superstar is on the cover.
Yeah. So Tsunami ends up winning, not to spoil the end, but we're just gonna, there's not, like, again, without explaining every hit, like, it's not gonna be a very dense thing.
The only other thing that happens is at some point, Tsunami pulls up the video of his graduation performance.
His initiation.
Yes.
Performance, yeah, which is way more complicated than the initiation we will see in the next episode. So he has to, he's blindfolded.
Yes.
He has to do a backflip and kick a globe.
Yeah, I thought it was a balloon, but it shattered.
It did shatter. So it's like a globe or something. So he does that. Then he's got a blindfolded break ninja boards. And he just blindfold fights ninjas?
Yeah. Does he fight the ninjas or does he only break the boards?
He did something else. He did the board break.
He probably fights the ninjas.
He did probably did a little fight on the ninjas.
Oh, no. He has to, there's like a stack of like eight boards.
Oh, and he has to karate.
He has to break only the bottom board by striking the top board.
Yeah.
And he does that, but I don't think that's a real thing, because also, after he strikes it, the whole thing falls over as one piece.
Yeah, I feel like he just broke the legs and not necessarily the bottom board. I don't know. It was a little... whatever.
Somehow, him breaking the bottom board and not any of the ones above it is like a tsunami.
That's where that tsunami power comes in. So then he wins, and the end shot is just him sitting on Superstar's back, and Superstar's doing, he's at 100 of 300 push-ups.
Yeah, because at some point between rounds, they upped the ante to, now you have to do 100 for each key symbol with the other person on your back.
Yeah, I do some push-ups.
I don't. I hate push-ups.
I do some push-ups, do some pull-ups, do some chin-ups, some sit-ups, all your ups, all your basic ups. I do about 20 push-ups. And then I want to die.
Well, 280 more to go.
And nobody's sitting on me.
That's true.
And that would, you know how many push-ups I would do with someone sitting on my back? Zero.
Zero. Here's the thing.
I would do a push down and I would not come back up.
I doubt Superstar actually was at 98 when we cut into the locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
He legit did push-ups with Tsunami
well,
on
yeah,
his back,
Josh,
though.
They're WMAC masters. You don't get there by being a wimp. You can do a lot of push-ups, I bet. It's crazy. My favorite guy is Hakim the Machine, who was in the Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah, he's the one that Kano kills.
Yeah. He rules. He's a great dude. He's like kind of a legacy. In the first episode, it's like sort of explained that like he got his name, like someone gave him the name. I don't really remember.
Yeah.
There's like, because the whole first season is a lot of like, here's like a little story about this person, a little story about this person.
We
while
also, the first season, we come in, and this has been ongoing. Like people have like 6 to 8 symbols on their belts already.
It's like they just got a TV deal, but that's not it. The second season, there's like a lot more story stuff. There's like an evil group who wants to take down WMAC Masters, and here's the cliffhanger, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Someone steals the Dragon Star and gives it away to the traitor, who is Tracer.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that traitor was?
Is it Superstar?
Oh no.
Is it Olympus?
No.
I don't know.
It's your boy Tsunami.
It's Tsunami.
He hands Tracer the Dragon Star to give it to Jukido, which is the evil group. And Tracer's like, "You did the right thing." And that's where the show ends.
Season 3 was going to be Tsunami destroying them from the inside out, I'm confident.
Sure.
Tsunami is a white meat baby face.
Yep. But he did a heel turn at the end.
He
or did
threw
he?
Threw Olympus through the barbershop window.
So the second episode is more straightforward. There's two fights, and then those two winners fight each other, and then they get a key star.
But while it's only two of them in the dome, there's also ninjas crawl in at some point.
Yeah, ninjas do a TNA reverse cage match sort of deal.
And it is also said by Shannon Lee, who is the host. She's the daughter of Bruce Lee.
Yeah, they will tell you that every chance they get.
She does say, even if a ninja knocks you into the cage, your opponent scores a point.
Yeah.
Because you're a master, and the ninjas are just academy students.
Yeah, they're just like, they're literally like kids. They're teens. We start off with Kid Carmichael.
He's doing his initiation.
Yeah.
He's just Carmichael Simon right now.
Carmichael Simon, and he wins the key symbol. He gets to be Kid Carmichael. Everyone else is like very complicated, like not complicated, but like names that have meanings and
yeah,
symbol
like
stuff.
Willie Bam.
Willie the Bam. yeah, that also is kind of a mistake, but he's a weird cat.
There's some weird stuff going on with Willie the Bam.
Willie the Bam is a weird dude. But he just does like a cool kata, and he doesn't have to fight any ninjas or break any boards blindfolded. It's very good. He does like a super split 720 kick.
Yeah, they do say at the end of it, the robotic demonic voiceover guy says flawless.
Yeah, it's super duper the Mortal Kombat announcer, but not, you know.
This would have been a Mortal Kombat TV show if
there wasn't a Mortal Kombat
TV
show.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. This is. Non-Mortal Kombat.
All these characters are dollar store knockoffs of Mortal
Absolutely.
Kombat.
Absolutely. These are the core version.
Superstar is literally Liu Kang.
Literally Liu Kang. I think, was Superstar the guy who played Kung Lao in the movie? I don't think so. That would be Buckwild.
He might be. I mean, the machine was in the movie.
Anyway, so now Kid Carmichael has to go up against Yin Yang Man. And so he goes to get some advice, or Turbo, who's like a wicked jerk. He's like the big heel of there. He's like, "Hey, Kid Carmichael gonna beat you, Yin Yang Man?" He's like, "Over my dead body." I do want to point out, Yin Yang Man is super white.
Oh, yeah.
Is extra super duper white. Bad look. Then Olympus comes in. This is like later, and he's talking about how like he tried to give Kid Carmichael some advice, but he didn't want it because he's like, you know, young and cocky.
Right.
And they're like, "Oh God, you're going to tell a story, aren't you?" And he's like, "Well, yeah." And then they start doing the wings. Like, literally, that's not a joke.
Yeah, I was like, they just did the Wayne's World
thing. And then we get a 20-minute montage, like a flashback sequence of Herb Perez, actual Olympic gold medalist in some martial art, not sure which one. His key symbol is Olympus, which is just your code name, but like also your symbol. So they say is your key symbol. But he tells a story about how before he beat Turbo for the Dragon Star, he like went back to New York City. What?
Superstar, I looked him up.
Yeah.
He is a stunt double for Raphael in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Okay.
He is Liu Kang and Shang Tsung, like, in the video game. Like, those sprites are him.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. Yeah. Heck yeah. Get it, Superstar.
He does not appear in the Mortal Kombat movies.
Well, no, they were too intimidated by him. He was the original Liu Kang. He goes back to train with his former sensei, Master Fu, and they do some training. And then it turns out Master Fu also trained Turbo. And so Olympus is like, I need some advice. And he's like, here's the fortune cookie. And the fortune cookie says, lunch is on you. You've been pranked.
It also has a time and some, it's like 2 o'clock, 95.5.
Yeah. So you like wanders around and there's like a radio that is like, it's 9.95. It's 2 o'clock. Herb Perez, Olympus, is listening to this program right now.
Also one of the MCs on this radio station. And this is, I think, only for me. So this show is very specific for me.
Yeah.
Todd Pettengill is one of the the guys on the radio. And Todd Pettengill is the backstage interviewer, kind of like the Mean Gene of the new generation in WWF.
Lean Gene.
He, at different points in his career, has a rat tail and a mullet. He's like just super excitable. At the very first In Your House, he makes the phone call to the person that won the house.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been watching 1994 WWF.
There's something about 1994 that just gets me.
Look, that's WCW in 1997 and 1998 for me, so I understand. But anyway, so Todd Pettengill is there. This sends him on a New York City wild goose chase / montage complete with a song called Quest for the Dragon Star. It's bad.
It is... What was our knockoff name for Ron Wasserman?
Don Waterman.
Don Waterman is heck this song.
Yeah. So he goes all over following things, and it ends him up right back in Chinatown, exactly where he started, at the restaurant, and Master Fu is waiting there. And Master Fu said that he didn't listen. He never listened to anybody. And that it wasn't inside the fortune cookie, it was inside him. And you would know that. He's like, you're right, because one of the 8 points of the Dragon Star is self-confidence, and I should have believed in myself. Now, if you'll recall, that was not on the list.
That's not one of the 8 points of the Dragon Star.
So then we cut back. There's a fight between the Young Man and Kid Carmichael. And Kid Carmichael, here's how the fights go. You start at different ends of the battle zone.
So it's like Splatoon.
Yes.
Where you each start on a different side of what I'm assuming is a symmetrical battle zone.
Nearly symmetrical. They're like, it seems like just a set at Universal Studios, because filmed Universal Studios Florida.
This is so cool. So you start on separate sides. You fight through ninjas as you each like go toward the center. But on the sides of the TV screen are your power bars, which are like your health meters. So every time you take a hit or get taken down, your power bar goes down one.
Yep.
And so you want to get to the middle, obviously, without that
with the
happening.
Most amount of power left. So they get there, and Kid Carmichael's a little lower. He's new. Yin Yang Man is a little higher because he's like a veteran and also racially appropriative, I guess. I don't know how this got. I do know how it got by. It was 1994, and nobody cared about that kind of thing. But like now, it's like, dude, you can't just call yourself Yin Yang Man. Just because your pants are black and white doesn't mean you can say you're Yin Yang Man.
Yeah, it's weird. There's
it's a bad look, Kyle.
So there's some weird racial stuff. But again, it's like 1993, 1994, so...
I think it was 94 to 97, is what I said earlier. But still, like, not much better. So, yeah, there is some stuff where you're like, didn't age well. But fortunately, there's not a ton of it.
It's stuff like there's Yin Yang Man, who's like the white dad from down the street.
Yeah.
Panther is like...
That's fine, though.
Yeah.
That one at least makes sense. Panther's a black guy. So, like, you know, the Black Panther's Panther, right. Like, you know, now a giant superhero, the Black Panther, like it's always been an associated thing. At least it's not a white dude saying, I'm Black Panther.
That's very true.
Like, at least Tiger Claw's name isn't Black Panther, you know?
Tiger Claw has awful tiger stripe pants.
It's real bad. He looks
stupid.
He looks like, this is how I feel like Tiger Claw, what happened on his first day. They're like, all right, it's basically Mortal Kombat, but not. He's like, gotcha, I'll do some research so I know. And he went home and played Street Fighter, and he showed up as an off-brand Street Fighter instead of an off-brand Mortal Kombat.
That's very accurate.
Yeah, right? So they fight each other. Kid Carmichael, now here's the thing I understand about the power bars. When you take a hit, your power goes down.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Essentially,
it doesn't matter if you get taken down, it drops one. If you get like grazed a little tiny bit, drops one.
One time in the next fight, he didn't get hit and it dropped. So I don't know.
Well,
maybe it was just a whiff and I wasn't supposed to notice it. But so like he's at one. He's at like the next hit will blow up your key symbol, and he gets hit like four times. It doesn't go down, and then
I think he was blocking.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Also, when you say blow up his key symbol, we need to explain that. Back in the Battle Dome, in front of where Olympus is sitting, are two giant, like, color version of their key symbols. And when you...
But they're paper.
Yeah, they're paper. And when you lose the fight, it blows out your key symbol.
There's like an air cannon or something behind it, and it just poof. So, he's at, like, one. He gets hit a couple times. Maybe he blocks. And then, Yin Yang Man jumps in a drink. Because they're on the danger docks?
Kid Carmichael kicks him in the drink.
Okay, so he gets kicked in the drink.
And the rules very specifically
state... These rules are buck wild.
That if, for any extenuating circumstance...
Any reason at all.
Any reason at all, you are deemed unable to continue the fight, you lose by default, essentially.
It goes to your opponent.
So Yin Yang Man, he was a little wet, he got soggy, and his pants were too heavy, he couldn't kick anymore. And so he loses the fight automatically.
Do you think they're like, can you keep going? He's like, no, my socks are wet.
I can't do anything in wet
socks. I have to go home.
I'm actually going to go home and go to bed now because my socks are wet.
I'm going
to
take a hot shower and then get under six blankets and go to bed until Thursday.
I fell in the danger drink.
And so Kid Carmichael wins via ring out.
TK? A ring out, yeah.
Yeah. And so he gets to move on. Then we go to the next set of... fight tapings, which is Tiger Claw versus
everybody's favorite Street Fighter Tiger Claw.
We go back to the HQ, like backstage area, for 1 second, and they're like, it's Night Wolf is a Mortal Kombat. His name is Jamie Weber. He's one of like the three people who I remember their real name. He does like a really cool windmill kick. That's his signature move. But he's talking to, I think, Panther? I'm not sure.
I think so. They're, like, training on a heavy bag
together. Yeah, this is a lot of heavy bag work. Yeah. And he's like, both, you know, guys' first nights in the arena, they're going to pass unless Tiger Claw can beat them. And Tiger Claw's like, ugh. And, like, says, like, excuse me, Panther. And then, like, or, like, hey, Panther. And then, like, get him away or excuse me or whatever. Like, in a grumpy way to Great Wolf.
Great Wolf was like, hey, John, or whatever his name is.
It's like Johnny Smith.
Johnny,
literally.
Yeah.
Is he supposed to be Johnny Cage?
They did a bad job making him Johnny Cage.
If Johnny Cage is a Street Fighter, he would be Tiger Claw.
Yeah. But Great Wolf is like, hey, man, good luck. I hope you do good. And Tiger Claw is like, fuck off, Great Wolf.
Yeah, get out of my... Apparently, Great Wolf knocked his ass out last time. And he hasn't been able to, like, recover. Like,
I think there was one point, this was before we moved down here, so this was like 5+ years ago, where I did watch all, this is all on YYtube, like the whole thing.
Yeah, it's in like 10-minute chunks. You gotta watch them in two parts each, but like, it's there.
And I think I do remember like the knockout, like Tiger Claw getting knocked out by Great Wolf, and how Great Wolf, like, it was kind of like an accident, and he felt like super bad about actually knocking the dude's lights out.
Right, and then like because of that, like, he had like the yips for a while, so he kept losing matches. But now, he's just like, not accepting the apology, and he's the bad guy.
Tiger Claw's a heel.
I guess. He's in Jukido.
I can't remember who he's fighting.
He's fighting the Bam.
Oh, that's right. Willie the Bam.
So Willie the Bam, who we thought was Willie the Fan or Willie the Fam.
Yeah, I had no idea. Willie the Fang, maybe, I thought for a minute. So then you see his key symbol. It just says Bam, like a comic book.
So he came out with this weapon that he made himself called a Willy Whip. Can I tell you people what a Willy Whip is?
Well, I mean, you have to, because we can't just leave it at Willy Whip.
A Willy Whip. His name is Willy the Bam, last name withheld. They say it once or twice, and they just call him Willy the Bam or the Bam for the rest of the time. So Willy the Bam has a weapon he made himself. It's called a Willy Whip. Do you know what this is made out of? That's
right. I do.
His own human hair.
Shannon Lee has the pleasure of explaining to the audience that Willy the Bam grew his ponytail because he's bald, but except the ponytail.
Yeah, he's got like a ponytail in the back, which is not a good look.
No.
But it was 1995. No one knew better.
He grew that ponytail out for 5 years and cut it off and made a whip out of
yeah.
it. And he is currently working on a new weapon, growing this ponytail out for 10 years, which is
so
going to make
means...
it's twice as powerful.
So he just has this knotted hair whip.
It's so gross.
It's like a stick, and then his hair that came from his head.
I think
it's at the end of it.
I think this is real, but I don't know.
Oh, it's real. Oh, it's damn real.
This man really did that.
Willy the Bam has a stick with his hair attached to it
that he hits
people with.
Of all the damn things to call it,
he named it
a Willy Whip.
So bad.
You can go to jail for Willy Whipping.
So I grew my hair out for about 2.5 years, and then I cut it. And you know what I did with it? I gave it to children. Not like, okay, let me say this again.
You missed a golden opportunity.
I could have had
a very powerful weapon.
I gave it to Wigs for Kids. I was just like, here, kid, here's a bunch of my hair. That would be crazy. But I have very perfect, beautiful hair, and it was very long, and it's very thick and sturdy. So I was like, this is going to make some great wigs. It was about 3 pounds of hair, which is a lot.
But that was on your whole head. That was my entire head, focused ponytail.
Yeah.
Like a laser beam growing out of the back of your head.
Willy. So he does his little kata with a Willy Whip, and then an Tiger Claw comes out, and he's very serious. And he does a very serious Tiger Claw kata.
It's embarrassing. So he does like actual Tiger Claws with his hands, and he's like, rawr.
There's a lot of like, ha! And like, here's what I realized. And I'm not saying that, if you do martial arts, I'm not throwing any shade. I'm trying to dunk on you, okay? But there is a level of shame that you have to give up in order to do martial arts on television.
Yeah.
Because you can't, like, I couldn't go on to a place where a bunch of people were going to see me and do this stuff. I would be so embarrassed at just how objectively goofy it is that I couldn't do it. So you need to be super dupes comfortable with your whole business.
Especially to play Tiger Claw on TV.
Especially if Johnny Lee Smith, a.k.a. Tiger Claw, is going to do it on television. And only you and I watched it as kids. And I think Sky and Ross. Statistically, maybe 10, 12 other people got a second season. So, like, someone had to watch it.
Right.
There were toys that we found out about at the start of this video.
Oh, I was mad for the first probably 8 minutes.
Like, there was a Dragon Belt.
There was a Dragon Belt that you could have and own, and I didn't.
And it just.
And action figures. I could have had The Machine.
You could
battle Casey Jones for the WWF Championship.
It's a fallen world. This is the world. This is the darkest timeline.
Cancel my subscription to Earth. I'm done.
We're done. What's even the point? So then they fight. Tiger Claw wins because he's like got the edge, and Willy the Bam is just, you know, kind of a goofo. His whole deal, he got his nickname by his like Kia, which is like the thing you say when you expel your energy and hit your opponent, is Bam. But it's always he doesn't want to be saying it.
No, you can. There's a couple that I swear they just dubbed in.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of times you just be like Kia, like hitting them, but like,
and then
he's
and then
like
after
kabam.
The move, there will just be like a bam,
bam. There he goes. There's that signature move.
That signature bam from Willy the Bam.
From Willy Whip the Bam.
I can't believe that gross boy made a whip out of his hair.
He did it, and they were like, yeah, you could be on TV.
You can show the whole world your hair whip.
Your gross hair whip. And then they're like, he's making a second one. We don't need two in the world. This was 1995. Who knows how many he has by now?
I got a hard pass on the Willy Whip.
So Tiger Claw wins. They go to the dome. It's the same thing. You have to bump into the cage to win or to get points. And then at the end of the whatever arbitrary time period, like the 3 minutes or whatever, whoever has the most bumps loses, or whoever bumped the other person the most wins. So there's ninjas in this one because it's a 2-on-1, right?
Yeah, it starts off with just the masters in the dome.
Yeah.
And then the voiceover will be like, ninjas enter the cage. And then they will crawl up through a hole in the ceiling and come in.
Which is literally a TNA match. We just can't remember what it's called.
No. Terror Dome. I keep saying Terror Dome. I don't think that was it.
I want to call it King of the Mountain, but I know that was a super complicated, like, you got to pin your opponent and then hang a bell.
That's a reverse ladder match with a penalty box.
That match sucks. So the ninjas come in. They do some fighting. They are still fighting each other because you can't get points. Like, if you get bumped, your opponent will still get a point, even if a ninja bumps you.
Yeah, but you can't bump a ninja and get
a point. It doesn't matter.
So you're kind of just avoiding them, trying to either, like, get your opponent in between you and them so they hit them into the cage, or just hit your opponent into the cage.
So at one point, the announcer's like, ninjas, get out.
Ninjas, leave the cage. Now.
Like, he's yelling at his cat to get off of that. Get out of there, Kemps.
And at that point, it's like 3-1 Tiger Claw.
Yeah.
Kid Chameleon?
Kid Carmichael.
Kid Carmichael only scores a point with that sweet, like, split 720 kick that he does.
Which is pretty good. He loses, and then Tiger Claw is, like, you know, back in the swing of things. Now he's got his win back. And then we cut to, is that the end?
I think so, because Shannon Lee comes on and is like, oh man, the experience of Tiger Claw really got to Kid Carmichael. You would have this look on your face if you were fighting Tiger Claw too. And it freeze frames on this face and he's like,
It's literally just like any face you could make. It's not like a worried face. It's just like if you pause during a show, also, that's the face.
They freeze frame, but the show is in like 240p. So it's just like 6 blocks making up his face.
It's not great. This is actually better quality than a lot of the other ones we saw. And then,
especially for like a VHS transfer.
And then Shannon Lee has the gall to tell us that there's more episodes like this on VHS. There's a whole collection.
Yep.
So you could have and watch a bunch of WMSC Masters on.
Let's take that collection and throw the VHSs in the trash and just remaster it in Blu-ray or 4K and put that for sale. I don't want to shoot too high. I will pay $80 for that.
That's a lot. That's how much the Blu-ray of Gravity Falls, both seasons, costs.
Yeah.
And there's 40 episodes of that. So
there's 26 episodes of this spread across 2 seasons.
So we're serious about it. Also, here's a thing that I for real have been trying to do. Get the rights to WMAC Masters.
Also, those discs, and those are the key symbols. Each disc is a key symbol.
Oh, obviously.
And the box is a Dragon Bell somehow.
Duh.
Make that work.
Yeah.
Put it out. I will buy it for $80.
Get it together. I have legitimately been trying to hunt down who has the rights to WMAC Masters to see if I can get them, because no one's using them, and no one remembers but us.
No one's taking them off of YouTube. They're all still up.
Yeah. I think the trail on the Wikipedia gets to 4 licensing, which is like the branch of 4 kids that handles licensing. So I just need to find their website and then like email them and be like, hey, give it.
I'll give you $80.
I will give you, I have some money saved up that I've been saving up from my tax returns. Like, I haven't spent tax returns this year or last year. I'm saving it up to like do a nice trip or something.
Yeah.
So I've got like a decent chunk of change, and I will give it up for WMAC Masters. like that. Okay? Not even a thing.
I can't believe they don't still make this show. Because kids would still eat this up. All of the toy opportunities.
Absolutely.
All the crazy characters. Martial artists are only getting better.
Yeah, right? Like, if you look at the Olympics, like the Olympic gymnastics in like 1950 and then like now
it's like one handspring.
Yeah, they do like a cartwheel and they're like gold medal. Like, I would be a world class gymnast in 1951. These guys are very good at karate, but
it's been 20
but it's been 20
years.
It's been 20 years. 20 they're so years, much better.
20 years of advancement.
In the karate frontier.
20 years of, oh, that's the best there was? I can push farther than
that. I can do better than that. So imagine, if you will, I get the rights to WWC Masters. First thing I'm doing, calling up Shout Factory. You know they would put that out.
Oh, absolutely.
You know they would. Make a bunch of money on it, because who wouldn't want WWC Masters on Blu-ray? Everybody wants it. they just don't remember the name of it, so that's why they don't want
it. We're doing a service.
Yeah. Then, use all that money, reboot WWC Masters. But here's the trick. You pretend it never went away. So it's season 25 of WWC Masters. You get some former Power Rangers. You make it more Lucha Underground than bad Mortal Kombat.
So we're jumping in 23 seasons later.
Yeah.
Is the Dragon Star still in evil hands?
Well, I think at some point it would have had to have gotten back to the WMC Masters, right?
Right.
But I think it's currently in a new evil's hands.
Okay.
And also, 10% more magic when you have the Dragon Star, you do get more powerful.
Yeah,
you get,
obviously.
You get dragon powers from the Dragon Star. I mean, Pie in the Sky, Dan Southworth, who was Eric... Jason David Frank, if he'll play along.
Johnny Young Bosch, you can come in and do some karate for us.
That'd
be great.
I would love Johnny Young Bosch to have, like, because you show, like, because you have 23 fake years, right? So, like,
yeah.
15 years ago, Johnny Young Bosch's character, it's not Johnny Young Bosch, it's a totally different guy. Because we wouldn't be using their real, because they use their real names, like, because they're, like, real martial artists, but in this, like, fake pro wrestling style
right.
world. We'd kind of get rid of all that. Oh, it's more pageantry than anything. Because you can tell a better story that way.
Yeah.
So, like, 15 years ago, he got hurt trying to get the Dragon Star from either whoever has it now or whoever the last bad dude to have it was. And now he's got to train a new kid to take it. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Also, intergender fighting. Because at some point, they did introduce women. They had their own Dragon Star.
They did. I think there was one in each episode.
At least in the second one. I don't think there was in the first. Oh, maybe there was in the first one. Yeah.
There was. She had like a blue tank top on and her hair was like really poofy on the top but kind of shaved on the sides.
Yeah. It was a very 90s look.
Yeah.
Very good. but yeah, so the fighting would be intergender now. And then you show a flashback to like 6 years ago when one of the women like fought a top guy to integrate the two divisions.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of work with that because you got 23 fake years to play with. then it's just like good guys trying to get the Dragon Star back. And it's like a little magic.
Yeah, just like a little bit.
Yeah.
You have to have magic.
Just a little bit magic. It's a Dragon Star. What are you doing if it's not a little bit magic?
And you all dress in such crazy outfits that you have to have magic powers. Warlock?
Yeah, Warlock? Or your brother Wizard?
Warlock's karate gear looks like a bedrobe, like a nighttime
jam jams.
It's jammies.
It's super duper jam jams
because it just has like a moon on it and just like random stars play and it ties off just like a robe.
Like it's his belt, like you know your karate belt, like that you put around your waist. But like because of the way it works, it just literally looks like he's in a like pajamas that he's zipped up and put a belt on.
I think it's just a full karate gi, but it's like midnight blue with stars and moons on it, and it just looks like a robe in pajamas.
It's very funny. So that's WMAC Masters. I don't know anything else. I gave away the big spoiler, the season end spoiler. we didn't get to see the ghost town where the ninjas have skull masks.
We did see some camo ninjas.
That's in the Mayan Mystery Battle Zone, because they have like a bunch of different battle zones. If you know who's got it, let me know.
The battle zones are funny, because they never come into play. They all play out the same. You start a different end, you meet in the middle, you fight, and you win or you lose.
Yeah.
The ninjas look different, but are the same. There's palette swaps.
Yeah. But like you only need like 6 people to be ninjas, you know? But you could get a bunch more. And get crazy with it.
Yeah.
Also, probably nowadays, we know how to light better.
Yeah.
The lighting is pretty garbage.
I mean, it's a Saturday morning television program.
Yeah, and it was all filmed at night. So, like, outside Universal Studios backlot at night. So, like, I get it.
Right.
But it's still, like, you don't have any better lights. You don't have, like, one more you could throw up there. so I could see who's fighting.
Oh, it's Willie the Bam and Tiger Claw.
I don't want to see that match.
Keep the lights down.
Anyway, so that's going to do it for us, and that's it for our hiatus. So next week, we're back. Two episodes a week, doing lot speed rescue.
That's a lot of speed.
It's so much speed, and it's very fast, I hope. Heard a lot of mixed reviews Lightspeed Rescue. A lot of people tell me that Carter is actually a very good Red Ranger, which is cool, but if he's boring, I'm not gonna care.
If he's boring, it doesn't count.
Doesn't matter. I've also heard that the show's real boring. And I know one very dumb thing that I'm very excited to watch. So
I know nothing except for the morph sequence and now Carter's name. So
he's the Red Ranger. Yeah, so that's going to be next week. I'm pretty excited to get back to regular episodes. Sorry we didn't have a regular movie like we normally do, but...
That's my bad. If I had ordered the movie one day sooner, we would have had it in time.
Probably. So, but again, now we just have something to look forward to next season.
Yeah.
So, there's that. All right, we are going to get out of here. I don't think we said any of the places you can find us online, but I'm sure you remember... from the 300 plus other episodes. So we will see you on Monday for the beginning of Lightspeed Rescue. But until then,
may the power protect you. Someone is outside playing mariachi music off of their phone.
At 8:30 at night.
At 8:30 at night.
So loud. A lot of sounds.
Wow, what a busy over night. Here. It's Wednesday at 8:40. And it's just hopping outside. All I want to do is talk about WMAC Masters, and everybody outside is being very unreasonable.
Hey, everyone, I want you to understand, this is probably going to be a post-credit, so only the real cool babies get to hear this part. It is a miracle that any episode of The Morphin Grid comes out, because of how much garbage we have to wade through to put an episode out.